April 17, 2016, Sunday morning study on stewardship. As we've been mentioning, there's no aspect of our life that is not governed by a pattern in God's Word. And all that we do is stewards, and we have a pattern for what we are to do in every aspect of life. And we simply define stewardship, or a steward is someone that has been committed something or entrusted with something. And we have been entrusted, as Paul mentioned, that the oracles of God have been entrusted to me or committed to me, that he may proclaim those oracles. And that particular stewardship of that we are in charge of God's, he has entrusted to us today, the church, with his word, and how we handle that word will tell us what we do in all other aspects of stewardship in our life, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we raise our family, how we are in a marriage, how we are on a job. Of all aspects of that. It's how we handle rightly the Word of God. We've been dealing with a principle that is a good principle when it comes to stewardship in 3 John verse 2. And John there says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So if our soul prospers in all aspects of life, then we'll be good stewards in all aspects of life. But when this kind of gets out of kilter, that we're no longer that our souls prospering, then we're not going to devote our time as we should. We're not going to devote our money as we should. We're not going to be a good servant in the church as we should, and the family, on the job, or whatever. So we need to understand that. And we made an application today that the world in which we look at is in such a disarray, it's almost that you're label a success in this life when you look at all that you have obtained in this life. The money, the Bill Gates, all these, whatever you want to put in that. That's how a person is determined today whether they are a success or not. And reference is often made to that which I have, what I have done. Much like the rich man, the rich fool who said, "I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns." And we fail to understand, we need to keep in perspective that all things belong to whom? God. And when we die, when a person dies, that's no longer ours. Even though people may look at, I'm building towns, I've got a town and stuff named after me, and so therefore that's my legacy. You're wrong. That's soon forgotten. All things go back to God, okay? And again, man, and God created man, that was, if you want to term, the highlight of his creation. Okay? Because that particular aspect of creation was that which was formed in the image of God. For what purpose? Well, one, to glorify God. We understand that. But to glorify him in all aspects of stewardship. Not just as we say, you've got 30 aspects of stewardship and I keep 25 of those and therefore I'm a good steward. You determine a good steward when you are in all aspects of your life doing it of what God's Word says. So that's particularly to glorify God. But the other reason man was created, was why?
One reason was to have dominion over his.
All right. God made all things in these days there. Then at that time, he placed man where? In the garden, okay? And so that's kind of what we're going to look at a little bit this morning. And again, it's important for us to recognize man's status among all that God created. As we said, we're going to deal with some aspects of the environment. Big question today, the greenhouse effect, and we're destroying our environment, and blah, 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 this, and all so on. Okay. The animal activist talks about, that animals more or less on the same kilter as man. There's laws passed now for their protection and so on. We won't look at that, but again, keep in mind, man is above all this and placed over this. They're not the idea that we're equal with that people try to teach today, but what makes it wrong? Is it wrong to protect the environment? No. Certainly not. Or the animals, is it wrong? No. Should we be involved in this? Yes. That's not our business. It is our business because God's placed us over everything he created, and the environment and the animals is one of them. And so we're going to look at what makes it wrong, okay, for that. But we ought to be good stewards over that, that God created all that, and we were given this position that we were placed over. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, again, some of these verses we look at, Greg done a good job Wednesday night covering some of these verses, but we'll go back over because they're beneficial in our study also on stewardship. And what he class on Wednesday night of what we're teaching our children, one of those is going to be stewardship. And so they kind of go over children being a good steward of things that we teach them. The Lord formed, Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living being. In verse 8, Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed. In verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? So he placed him over every aspect of this garden, okay, that he had created. All that was involved in it. Animals, plants, whatever. Man was placed on it. But keep in mind at this time also, likewise, that we're going to look at, man was in a right relationship with God. Right? When he failed, does that relieve him of this responsibility? Okay? He fell away from God. He no longer had a right relationship with God. But then the purpose of Christ was to do what? To restore him back to holiness. Okay? And so that obligation has always been there. And so, man, when you look at Psalms chapter 8, someone read verses 4 through 8 of Psalms chapter 8.
What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the seas that pass through the paths of the seas.
Again, this idea of the works of your hands, everything, the work, even though a few here are listed, the birds, the fish, all things are involved in this, okay, over the works, all that his hand created in those days. But look, that he said, you're made a little lower than the angels, man's status. But man was crowned with what?
Glory and honor.
What made it possible when God created man for him to be crowned with glory and honor? Genesis 2. He was formed in the image of God. Therefore, because God is a God of glory and honor, that which was created in his image, likewise would have been that of glory and honor. When you look at Hebrews chapter 2, and again, it's basically the same reading of Psalms 8, verse 6, for one who testifies, Hebrews chapter 2, in a certain place, saying, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him, you made him a little lower than the angels, you crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. Again, this idea of what's been placed under man, all things that God created. Okay? And he goes on to say, for in that you put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not work. Under him. It's not given to no one else except man, that which was created in his image. But now we do not see yet all things put under him, which means reference that man sinned. Okay, he was created in this. And so when the relationship was there, that was no longer placed under that. But verse 9 says what? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Again, this idea that which man was no longer, because he sinned, the right relationship with God, we see Jesus Christ, who was made lower than the angels, for what purpose? To restore that which God placed man under to begin with. And again, this idea of stewardship. And so man was put in an exalted position. He failed. But now he is restored to that exalted position. He's be placed over the creation of the great God of heaven. And being placed in this position, again, we're to give glory and honor and everything in the position that man was placed in. Man, when you look, stands apart from everything else God created, even though today's world might not agree with that particular statement, but man's position in the order of creation, he was the highest point of God's creation. But yet everything that God created, the writer of Genesis says that it was what? It was good. But not that as man. Everything created before him was for his existence. And before man was created, all was made ready for man to be set in the Garden of Eden. There's a lot of good lessons you can learn from this as far as creation, that God created these things and that he placed man there. You make an application to a marriage, to young people who are getting married, that certain things need to be prepared. You just don't fly by the seat of your pants and jump into something. Preparation, maybe a place to stay. You make good preparations for that. But all things are ready for when you enter that marriage relationship, all things are ready. There's a lot of good lessons that you can draw from this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 through 31, someone read. This is after the creation has taken place, okay?
God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This food will be for you. For all of the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw that he had made, and it was very good. Evening came, and then morning, and the sixth day.
Then God created all things. Then after he created, he blessed him and said, be fruitful and multiply. This beginning of multiplying the earth, the human race upon the earth. The animals was to multiply. And God said, you subdue these things. All things have been made for your care. That you take care of these things that I have entrusted to you. And so he crowned him with glory and honor. Genesis 1, verse 26. Again, let us make man in our image, in our glory. According to the likeness, let them have dominion over all things. When you look at this phrase, let us make man, when you go back and look at verse 6 of Genesis chapter 1, kind of a different wording to this. In verse 6, he says, let there be light. This phrase, let there be. In verse 9, then God said, let the waters. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth. In verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth. God just simply said, let there be. It came about, the speaking. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound. In verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth. In verse 26, he said, now let us make man. The idea that all was placed in position for man to be entrusted with these, now let us make man. Again, man was a special creature and had to be created in such a way that he could know how to take care of all this. It's what separates man from animals, that you're entrusted with something. When you look, just think, you may give better examples of me, that if I entrust Dewey with building me a house, what am I saying as far as about Dewey?
I can build a house.
You can build a house. You're able to make decisions. create things, put things in order, that you can build that house. You can accomplish that. I can go out and say to my dog, Mo, do that, and he's not going to do it, even though some may argue that. And again, this idea of God created man because he was a special creature. He could make the right decisions concerning God's creation, that which God had placed him over. His relation to his maker, only one creator, only one created in the likeness or image of God. Greg touched upon this. We're defined as a shadow or a similitude of our maker. We are in the likeness of our maker. No, that is said of no animal whatsoever. And man was to stand in his relationship to his creator as a shadow or a similitude. John 4, verse 24 says, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We have that spirit, that image of God, that spirit in us, that we're in the similitude of God, that we can think, make decisions, whatever we may do. That's the similitude that we were made in. That was the only thing that was given to man that separates him from the animals. Animals was given the air to breathe and the body, but man was given something special that he could make decisions with. As we get on into this animal after stuff, we'll read some of the stuff they quote concerning an animal. Okay? It kind of makes you think, well, they're pretty smart. It's kind of like us. Oh, man. We take upon God's personality. 1 Peter 1, verse 16, Peter there says, be holy for I am holy. That's who we are to be. No animal can become holy. Only man. No individual is now complete in the image of God in this respect unless they are again obedient to Christ and being baptized and reborn. Because when man was created, he was holy as God was holy. Sin came in. He lost that holiness. Christ came to restore that which was from the beginning, the holiness that we now have. And Christ is in the expressed image of his Father. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. When you turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Paul there says, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, that you put on. Man had it once, but he lost that. Now we are to put it on again. What? Which was created according to God in true righteousness. That which God created was righteous. And we are to put that back on again as stewards. That we may be the correct steward that we should be. That God has given man power. Again, far below what our Father has in heaven. But yet we have some power that none of the other creation possesses. And we are far above all else. We have the power to govern ourselves, to speak, to think, to create, to arrange, to make choices, to know good from evil, and to give praise. That's God's image that we have. And because of these attributes, God has placed us over and trusted us to that which he created. And those things were created for man for food, shelter, clothing, for our benefit. Much like preparation is made for a marriage. And that God placed us within that boundary here in this life. Any thoughts so far? Why did God give man this dominion? Well, he was made in the image of God. And God intended man to know who he was and acknowledge who he was and to serve him. In Romans 1, verse 20, it talks about, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so all that God has given us, not only has he given us his word to understand who he is, he has given his creation has been touched upon this time of year, the beauty, the bloom while they're out there, the beauty of all, when you look at clouds in the sky, the beauty, if no painter could paint such a picture as this. He's given us all things that there is a God, and that we are created in His similitude. And we can govern ourselves, and we can think, and we can create, and I can make choices. I can either make a choice to be a good steward or a bad steward. And the only way I'm going to make a good choice in stewardship is if my soul is prospering. And folks, I'm telling you, if your soul's not prospering, you're a bad steward. That's foremost what governs you in this life. Are you taking care of that which God has entrusted to you? Okay? Your family, are you taking care of them? But why did God give us this? What is man to do with this dominion, this authority of which God has placed him over? Matthew 5 and verse 16. We are to glorify God that we have touched upon as a steward. And all we do, we glorify God as we keep the patterns that He has given us to keep. Matthew 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What's the good works that we do? Well, it's not just merely coming here on Sunday morning and telling people, oh, I attend the Church of Christ at Mill Street. You can definitely come here with doing that. But your heart may be far from the worship service. That has nothing to do with whether you're here or not. As if, well, I didn't miss 5 years, I never missed an assembly. That don't make you a good steward. It's what you've done with the patterns that we're to do when we assemble. Your jobs. I guess we all can label, well, I failed on my job. I certainly know I could. At times I may be looking at something I don't need to be looking at, or looking at a ball score or something on a computer, when I should be looking at what I need to be taken care of. Am I handling that stewardship correctly? Okay? And again, we made reference to our children, that we're to train up our children in the way that they should go, and this involves discipline. And a lot of times, discipline does not take place because it takes an effort to discipline a child and raise them. And we try to teach them and train them as far as home or taking care of stuff at home and stuff. And a lot of times when we tell them that, they won't do it. We do it ourselves because it's much easier for us to do it than to make them do it. And anyone who's raised kids knows that it takes an effort to raise a child. Or you can let them go and you can look at the world today and you see what they turn into. The children's raising the parents. And doing, the parents are doing everything that the children tell them. Buy me this, buy me that. One time played with, throw it in the corner, and I want this. I had Morgan and Madison and Taylor at work picking up garbage. I told them I'd give them $20. And I told Morgan, I said, you buy a toy with that, I'll throw it in the dumpster. I said, you either buy clothes or buy me some food. But the idea, that's, you know, you've got all this stuff that they'll never use. And, you know, and we accumulate, I'm not just that, as adults, we accumulate stuff that we really do not need. But we're to glorify God in all we do. We're to benefit our fellow man. Again, 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. I'm to help my fellow man. I've been placed as a steward over God's creation. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Paul says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What for, Paul? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in these good works. And so, as in the similitude of God, everything that God done for man was for his benefit. I likewise, being in God's similitude or image, and as a steward of that which you entrust me, I'm to do that which is best for my fellow man. Now, what all does that involve? Well, just whatever it incorporated that. It would involve my job that I'm to do best to benefit the people I work for. If you want to look at it from that aspect to it. And so it's going to involve that. It's going to involve doing what's best for those who personally may not like me. And that's something very hard to do, but we ought to do that. We're not to spend our time on earth living at the level of brute beast. And when you look today, it's almost the strongest survive. It's got to that aspect that I can take what you've got because I'm stronger or whatever, I may have more of this. And that's how people live. It's such hatred and bitterness in the world today that people will kill you over nothing because you cut them off. The value of life is not there. It's something that was created in God's image. People snap out just like that. Why? They're like brute beasts. The strongest in the animal world survive. And so they take the things by force. And mankind today, it gets worse each day, do not rise above that. And reference is made to the natural instinct, the impulses of the appetite, passion, or the earthly desires. That's what we want. And sadly, that's even in the Lord's church, that we are supposed to be stewards of that. Likewise, try to attain all that we can in this life. And do not use the resources that God gave us for His purpose. I've got the biggest house. I've got the most cars. I've got a boat. You see people standing out. Well, they put themselves out. Christ died for all. I'm to have compassion for all. Now, I understand that goes on. But I could say that almost of anything going. If I want to. You've got yourself there. That is your fault. Man was not given dominion to make poor choices. He was given dominion over all that God created because of his ability to know good from evil and to make the right choices. But again, it's the idea of who we're serving. The stewardship is our souls prospering. If our soul's not prospering, then what we deal with is the pleasures of this life, these brute beasts that is described in Jude verse 10, like natural brute beast. God showed man how he was to be a steward again in all things that we've touched upon through that. The teaching of our children is a very important thing because we talk about some of them in the church today, in the kingdom today, but some of them are not there. And so this idea of teaching this of them. And man needs to return to his roots. Again, for that purpose of which God created him. But again, this idea of this natural instinct, the impulses of appetite, passions. You look at what goes on in the world, anything you cover, you cannot even flip through a commercial on the TV without seeing what? The nudity or something that is greatly implied of sensual desires. Folks, you're better off without them. Because once that eye sees it, it's placed in your mind, that which is in the image of God, you just stand up and just, as on a computer, delete. You're not going to delete that from your memory. It's going to stay there. And it may at times give you, well, that looks pretty good, I'll look again. And so whose image are we created in? And it seems to be when you look at this verse in Jude chapter 10, that was their only interest. And that's how the world is today. Their only interest is in the things of this world, all those earthly pleasures. As in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. And so if you're involved in that, and you claim to be a steward of God, you're a liar. A steward will not be involved in those things. Because we're in the image of God, and our command is, be ye holy, for I am holy on that. Any thoughts? Got about 5 minutes, and that's the list. I'll not get started on lesson four. Anybody's got any thoughts or comments they want to make? Okay, thank you.